Good morning. As you know, Pastor Gary and Emily had an emergency in the family, and I was initially set to give this more or less testimony next weekend, but we moved it up to accommodate them. So please bear with me, and if Bill feels like Case Keenum off the practice squad, I'm more like your water boy that got thrown in. So bear with me, you're dealing with a complete amateur here. So. The message today is sharing God's abundance, and the church, we've been reviewing our stewardship and what it means to be stewards in the church, and my wife and I, we initially came in and gave a Temple Talker a testimony about a year and a half ago when we were kicking off a capital campaign here in the church, and our message was sharing God's abundance, and it was about our personal life struggle and some of the gifts that we've been given through some challenging times that we've had, and how we related that to sharing our gifts and sharing our gifts with the church and the people around us. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on that today and how that's gone for us and our struggle, and maybe hopefully it's relatable. And then we'll tie back to stewardship here in the church today. Hope everybody's been receiving their mailings in the mail and taking a look at them. The verse that I kind of go by, I go by the simplest thing I possibly can usually, and it's 1 Peter 4, verse 10, and I'll read it. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. For me, it's we have a calling to share our gifts with each other and serve each other with our gifts. So it's, and it can span the range of personal gifts as you can be in the choir, an artist, communications, organizational skills, just food service, financial services, your personal financial gifts, your personal testimony, anything that God has given you as a gift, you're called to use it and serve one another and as a steward for your community, yourself, and the church and community that you're in. So that's kind of my personal belief or personal kind of definition of stewardship. I want to quick start by reminding you about what we initially kind of spoke about a year and a half ago relating to sharing God's abundance. So what we really spoke about was that it's a little over 3 years ago, we were expecting our second child. His name is Langston. And about 20 weeks into the pregnancy, my wife and I, they discovered a kind of an issue with the child's system, his bladder, and it was causing kidney damage and backing up urine into the kidneys, and it wasn't allowing the urine to evacuate his body, and it was causing very serious renal problems, and they were also very concerned about some very serious respiratory issues. And so we discovered that, and we moved quickly to try to rectify that situation with a surgery, a very rare surgery where a surgeon would go in into my wife and then into the baby and into the baby's abdomen and into his bladder and try to use a laser to break up a blockage so that urine could evacuate the child's body and not cause the damage that it was causing. So we prepared for that surgery and went forward with it, and it was ultimately unsuccessful. Now, that was a very rare surgery, and it's only happened a handful of times in the world. In fact, it required a kind of hospital board approval before, as experimental, before the surgeon was even allowed to attempt it. But ultimately, that was unsuccessful, and we got a really bad prognosis after that attempt. They essentially told us, a neonatologist came and spoke with us, and a neonatologist is a doctor that specializes in intensive care for newborns. And she gave us the news that she expected the child, when it was born, to be born with a very serious respiratory condition. And for those of you who've never met a neonatologist, I can tell you the first day you are on the business end of a conversation with one of them is not one of your better days. It's a challenge. And so she left, and she kept using, but before she left, she kept using the term serious, and I think doctors have a different term for serious than we have. And she used it over and over again, and it stuck with me. But then she left, and she had given us her news. And about 5 minutes later, another doctor called a pediatric nephrologist, a baby kidney doctor, came in and talked to us about what he expected the renal condition to be like. And he essentially said he expected the child to be born with end-stage kidney disease and the child to be too small to be treated for it, and so that the condition would ultimately be lethal. And then he chased that bit of good news with the fact that the neonatologist, when she said serious, what she meant was more serious than the kidney condition. So lethal and more serious than lethal is kind of the news that we had gotten. So they ultimately sent us home from the hospital because there was nothing else that they could do. The expectation was that he was going to pass. And we were home dealing with that. We were home for a couple of days, and the surgeon that attempted the first surgery called us up and said, "You know what, I've heard you've gotten some bad news. I'd like to try again." And, you know, only about 20 of these surgeries has ever been attempted. It's never been attempted twice on the same child, same pregnancy, ever. And so, but the expectation was death at this point, so why not a Hail Mary? We had nothing to lose at that point. So they attempted the second surgery, and before they attempted to use a laser to fix the problem, they actually decided to place essentially what's called a shunt. It's a tube that allowed the urine to evacuate the baby's body and bypass the blockage. And so they were successful in placing that, but we didn't know what the level of damage had been done. To the kidneys, to the respiratory condition, we had no idea. It was still very much possible that he was going to pass or be stillborn or not survive or survive a short time. But we had no idea. Now, this whole process took about 3 or 4 weeks, and in that process, obviously, a lot of stress. Stress, tears, prayer, hope, just anguish, sadness, lots of emotion, every emotion you can have. And over the course of that time, my wife and I, at the same time, we kind of came to the same feeling that we were going to be taken care of and God was going to take care of this child. And I remember when we first shared this, Pastor Gary kind of jumped in. So you came to the feeling that God was going to give you a healthy child despite all this. And no, that wasn't it at all. We felt that whether we had a healthy child or not, or the child was taken, God was going to take care of this child, and our family was going to be okay, and we were going to be able to move on and go on, and it would be all right. That kind of faith journey where you finally kind of get beaten up and ultimately say, you know, after you tried to think your way out of it and stress and pray your way out of it yourself, and ultimately you just say, that's it. I've had enough. It's up to you, God. It's on you now. And when you do that, I remember feeling a great sense of relief. I also got the sense that my wife had that same sense of relief when you just say, you know what, I can't do anything about it. It's up to you. And that's kind of the faith position that we came on. And we shared that with the church at the time. And the kind of directive the church we were in was sharing God's abundance. And ultimately, Langston was born at 29 weeks, at 3 pounds, 2 ounces, and he fell and dropped to 2 pounds, 14 ounces, and very, very small. In fact, there's a picture where my hands are in the incubator, and my pinky is next to his leg, and it's about the same size, pretty much the same size. And I have bigger hands than average, but his pinky's a pinky. And his leg was about that size. But the kidney function was better than expected. There were no respiratory issues. And he was fine. And ultimately, he went home from the hospital after about 8 weeks in the NICU, and he's in the nursery over there. I'm surprised you can't hear him. So we shared that as a tremendous, sharing God's abundance. That was a huge blessing in our life, and we had gone through that situation. We had a healthy, relatively healthy child. He's still got issues, but relatively healthy child, and we learned about ourselves and our faith, about how much relief you can get when you give things up to God. And we kind of related that to sharing God's abundance in our gifts in our financial lives as well at the time. And we shared with the church that we are tithers. I didn't get the opportunity to share at the time, but I will now. If I'm telling you the whole truth, it's my wife is a much better tither than me. She's had that hammered into her. She grew up Baptist, and my father-in-law is actually a has a small church. He's the head minister at a small Baptist church just south of Fort Worth. And just before they hand out the offering baskets in their church, a deacon or the minister gets up and says, "How does a man rob God? He robs him of tithe and offering." And being Lutheran, growing up Lutheran, I said, "That's pretty serious." Yeah. You know, and so she's definitely had it hammered home to on tithing her whole life. And so me, I take a little bit more cajoling to do that. And to be, if I'm being completely honest, if she doesn't steal the checkbook and tithe for us, it might not happen. So, but we got up and we spoke and shared that about sharing God's abundance as the church was preparing for the capital campaign and to try to improve some of the facilities and our church's work here locally and as far as we can reach. Shortly after that, and this has been my personal experience and my faith, is that, you know, you open your mouth in front of church and say, "This is what we believe in faith," you're going to get tested on it. And so Langston, while his kidney function and his respiratory issues were fine, he was small, and he was having trouble gaining weight. And everybody, you can buy Pediasure at the grocery store, but we order medical grade Pediasure, and it's 43.5 calories per ounce, which is more than double whole milk. And that's what we've been feeding him, trying to gain him weight, get him to gain weight, and he wasn't. And so we pushed and we tried to push it off the doctor as long as we could, because they ultimately wanted to place what's called a gastrointestinal tube into the abdomen of a one-year-old, and they call it a G-button, so that you can hook a tube up to him while he's asleep and feed him at night. Now, it's a relatively low-risk procedure to place that, but it's not a whole lot of fun to manage on a one-year-old. So we really didn't want to do it, and we really pushed it off, and my wife really, we both stressed out about it, but I think my wife really stressed out about it a lot. So, you know, we had had this massive ordeal to get him here, and we had learned this lesson that you need to give up to God your gifts and let him take care of you, and that is the lesson we learned, and we learned it well. I mean, I synthesized it, we felt it, but here it is, the very next chance we get to do it, and we failed miserably at it. I mean, we stressed out, and I remember spending a great deal of my time trying to calm down my wife and get her to care, I mean, get her to relax and say, you know, it's a minor procedure and things like that, but at the same time, I was stressing out myself, and I, you know, did not relax and, you know, give it up to give my stress and give my the care of my family as well to God like I should have or could have. And it's a hard thing to do. And so we failed at that. And then also shortly after that, since we'd also talked about tithing, I'm an attorney, and I was working for an insurance firm doing some defense work, and very fortunate that the people I worked for I liked a great deal, but the work itself, I hated. Did not like doing it, stressed out about it, and ultimately started my own law office. And I had a few clients at the time when I started. I didn't go out just bare bones, nothing. But in doing so, I took about a $40,000 a year step back. So it was pretty serious financial challenge in itself. At the same time, my wife, who actually liked the work she was doing, was having a little bit of trouble communicating with one of the partners she was working for. Got a job offer from a drilling company and wanted to take it. And in terms of salary, it was also a step back. She also gets her financial package allowed it to be about the same, but in terms of salary, it was also a step back. So those first few months, the two of us combined, we took the equivalent of about what we considered probably about $80,000 a year to step back. Now, I understand now, and I certainly understood now, just to be able to even do that means that you were blessed in the first place. And we've been very, very fortunate. But what that did do is it put our month-to-month budget in the red every month for about 7 or 8 months, and before we finally got it caught up as my practice kind of continued to grow, and it was blessed. But it's pretty stressful tithing 10% of your income when you're running in the red every month. And I very much struggle with that. I stressed about that a lot, but the wife kept stealing the checkbook. And we tithed and had some faith. and stress, but and it slowly grew. My fragrance slowly grew, and it worked out. And we haven't gone all the way back to where we were, but we're in the black month to month now, so that's helpful. Makes it a little bit easier. But when you're in the red month to month, it's difficult to tithe, and it's stressful. And I, once again, I failed at it. I didn't kind of give my gifts up to God freely and willingly. It freely and willingly, it almost seemed to have to fight with me and take it away. But it's one of those things that, and that immediately happened after we had gotten in front of the church and spoken about giving our gifts freely and sharing and things like that. And these are things we know and we've been taught, and life lessons we learned personally. It wasn't just things that we have been taught by our family members or other pastors or things like that. These are things that we'd experienced, and it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy to give your gift sometimes, whether it's financial or your family or your personal skill set, and share them up because you have limited resources, whether it's money or time or energy. It's not easy to give those things. But we're called to do it. We're called to do it. And just so I could reread the verse again. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so, you know, we're called to share our gifts. We're called to give, to make our lives better together, to be stewards of the gifts that we're giving. And my message kind of here today, obviously, this is not a traditional sermon, it's more of a testimony, is that it's not easy. It's not easy. We should know as well as anybody that it's easier once you just say, okay, give it up. I give up the health of my family, my financial resources, my skill set. God, I'm going to give these to you. Use them as you're supposed to, or you want to use them. And it's so much easier. It takes so much of stress off of you in the moment when you do it. But at the same time, I guess we're all control freaks a little bit. You don't want to do it in the moment. You don't want to do it in the moment. It's hard. And so I guess my message to the church today, the things that I've learned, is that it's hard. Maybe we can struggle together to continue to give our gifts, no matter what they may be, to the church so that we can be good stewards to our community, to each other, and to the church. So that's all I have for you today. And I'd like to finish with a short prayer if I could. Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. And please give us the faith to share our gifts with each other. Amen.